So I don't know if you ever felt hopeless. And we shared things in prayer time that were hopeful. But it always amazes me when I open the door to what I'm going to study or what I'm going to preach on. It seems like something maybe this big, and then it just opens up to just this tons of really just amazing things that God reveals to me. And so I hope you guys get stuff out of it, because I get stuff out of it, but I hope you do too. And so I was trying to figure out what to do this Christmas season, and it's real easy to just take the Advent and say, okay, let's just go with the weeks. And so I did, and it just amazes me what comes out of that. And this week is hope. And I don't know if you, before the elections or after the elections or just, I mean, whatever it is, maybe there's things in your family that have given you a sense of hopelessness at times. You have gotten onto Fox News or CNN, and you just read over and over and over again negativity, just hopelessness, fear, and despair. And so this morning, I want to give you the opposite of that. I want to give you hope, because Scripture, it's all over in Scripture. And I have a plethora, Eric likes that word, I have a plethora of verses this morning that just give us a sense of true hope. There are many people out there that are going to tell you things, and they are going to say, yes, this is something to hope in, and yet it's not really going to give you much hope at all. But God's Word will give us hope. And so there are many keys, there are many key terms and concepts in Scripture. We have words like faith, love, joy, grace, peace. All those terms are kind of vague at times, right? And so I want to kind of dissect the word hope for us this morning. And now when you go on Google and you type in hope and you look into the word hope, you find out that the word hope is not some wishy-washy hoping. It's actually, in Scripture, it talks about being something that you are expecting. The word expecting. And so when you type in hope in Google, sometimes you get pregnant ladies, a picture of someone expecting. And isn't that ironic that when we talk about hope and when we talk about true hope, it's like expecting something to happen, like Jesus Christ coming again, right? I mean, that is something to hope in. And 2,000 years later, it feels like, okay, when's it going to happen? You know, because it feels like it's been a long time. Well, the people that living 2,000 years ago, I don't know if I can turn this or not, but that's right. The people that were living in Jesus' time, or before Jesus' time, they were expecting something too. They were expecting a Messiah to come for the first time, right? And if you go even further back, all the way back to when the Israelites, after they were freed from Egypt, they go through the whole 40 years in the desert and things like that, right? Well, there's a time where they saw everybody around them who had a king. Everybody around them who had someone who was leading them. And so they demanded a king. And God said, and I'm not going to get into that, but in Deuteronomy, in some of these scriptures in Kings, it says, okay, you're asking for a king, but he's going to do this, this, this. He's going to take all your money. He's going to tax you. He's going to take your sons and make them servants. He's going to take your daughters and make them, I'm not looking at the scripture, but make them servants as well, and so on and so on. And at the end of that passage, what did the Israelites say? We want a king! Give us a king! And what is God doing up in heaven? It's like, you guys, I'm the king. He wants us to say, to acknowledge, to embrace Jesus as the king, not a human king. And so there's a difference between hoping in a humanity or a man or someone who is going to be a king versus Jesus, who will reign on his throne for eternity as king. This is a huge difference. And so I think sometimes we look at a leader or someone who is in charge and we want them to make everything better. And we want to have hope. And yet, it's not going to hold water. So what is hope? It is not wishy-washy. It is not an unsure optimism. And I said it's something to expect. It's something to wish for, but without certainty of the fulfillment. To desire very much, but with no real assurance of getting your desire. So in Scripture, according to Hebrew and Greek, the words translated by the word hope, and according to the biblical usage, hope is an indication of certainty. Hope in Scriptures means a strong and confident expectation. Who's ever had expectations in their lives? Yeah. But in reality, when we have hope in Jesus Christ, we are expecting something to happen, right? We are expecting Jesus to come back again because he said he would, right? And so hope is a very, very similar, and it could be really closely tied into the word trust. Trusting and having faith and hoping in Jesus. In fact, Hebrews 11:1 is the famous verse, the famous chapter, faith chapter, right? And the first verse of Hebrews 11 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Hope refers, may refer to the activity of hoping or to the object hoping for. The content of one's hope. By its very nature, hope stresses two things. One, future, and then two, what is unseen. Right? If we saw it, there wouldn't be really this hope. You would see it and it would be reality. And yet hope has to do with something unseen. It deals with things that we can't see or haven't received, or both. And Romans 8:24-25 says this, for in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. We all know this because we see our kids and our grandkids anticipating Christmas morning, right? They don't know what's in the package. Hopefully they didn't go into the attic and see, or in the closet and see what you've purchased. It's the unseen. They don't know what they're getting. They can guess, because they possibly wrote a list for you, right, of what they want for Christmas. But it's unseen. It's the anticipation. We wait for it patiently. And so biblically, from the standpoint of the object hoped for, hope is equal with salvation and many blessings, past, present, and future, as promised in Scripture. This is true even with what we have already received as believers, because these blessings come under the category that we cannot see. For instance, we do not see God's work in us as He makes us righteous, right? We can see evidence of it, but we don't see the actual doing of that. And so we trust and we believe and we hope we expect that He is doing that work in us, right? And we do not see the Holy Spirit coming in us as we are being saved, but we see the evidence of it. We expect that when we accept Christ, that His Spirit comes in us, because that's what Scripture says and it's true. And so another example is we don't see us being unified with Christ. It's not a seen thing, but we do see the evidence of it. We believe this to be true, but this is a matter of our hope. We believe in the story of God and in His Word, and we hope for the results to happen in our lives. And so hope is the confident expectation, the sure certainty that what God has promised in His Word is true, present tense, and will be true in the future. In the Bible, hope is never a static or passive thing. It is energetic, it is active, it gives direction, and it can move us to a full life. If you take a concordance and you look up the word hope, you will find reference after reference pointing out the active results of hope in the lives of those who truly have a biblical hope and live accordingly. So in other words, a biblical hope is not an escape from reality or from problems. It doesn't leave us idle or drifting or just rocking on the front porch. If our hope is biblical and based on God's promises, it will put us into gear. And so the results, having hope, biblical hope, hope in God, it's going to do three things. One, it will change how we see ourselves. And two, it will change what we value. And three, it will affect what we do in our lives. So it will change how we see ourselves, it will change what we value, and it will change what we do in our lives with our talents, with our time, and with our treasures. And so I'll go back to the first one. The first one is it'll change how we see our lives because we will see when we put our hope in God and His Word, it will change our perspective, because it will make us realize that we are temporarily here on this earth. We are just a traveler. We are just a tourist. 2 Peter 1:13 says, "And I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by a way of reminder." I guess is that the same one? Okay. And 2 Peter 2:11 says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul." And so as we continue, as we read God's word, we realize that it says that this is a temporary thing. This world is going to pass, and we are eternal, and we set our sights on eternal things, on things that will last forever. And so the second one is it changes what we value. Hope, if biblical, makes us heavenly minded rather than earthly minded. Our Lord's words, he blasts our deception away. In Matthew 6:19 through 21, it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Right? And in a time when it's a busy season and people are seeking after things to fulfill them, like gifts, we can realize that they're the ultimate gift is Jesus Christ. And so if we have real hope, if we have true hope in Christ, we have hope in what will last, then the third one will affect what we do with our lives, what we do with our talents, what we do with our time, what we do with our treasures. Titus 2:11 through 13. Excuse me. "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Isn't that something to hope for? Isn't it? 1 John 3:1-3 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known." It's unseen. It's something that we hope for, that we expect that it will happen. "But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him." Wow. "For we shall see Him as He is." So we don't see Him complete because we have this veil or this cataracts of who Jesus really is. "All who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure." Well, like I was saying earlier about the news, and it seems like you go out there and there's just all negative and bad stuff that you see on the news. Well, I found a news report that was really, I thought, very encouraging in a time, like I was saying, very discouraging, very hopeless. And it's a story of a police officer in New York. You may have seen it. It was just very recent, who stepped out and did something amazing, where he showed kind of a love that God shows us. When we are broken, when we are sitting on the curb without, we are hurt and we are in need, God reaches out to us. And so I want to show you this news clip of this police officer who felt the need to go and buy shoes for a homeless man. And so let's watch.
Had it not been for a tourist from Arizona who snapped this photo with her cell phone, Officer Lawrence DePrimo's active kindness, giving boots to a homeless man, may have gone unnoticed. Tourist Jennifer Foster emailed the photo to the NYPD. They posted it to their Facebook page. Tens of thousands of comments followed, like this one. In a time when our hearts are in despair and we are bombarded with bad news, it is the human spirit and acts of kindness who really define who we are. God bless. Are you surprised by all the attention?
Absolutely. I didn't know this was going to be such a big deal.
The 25-year-old officer was on patrol in Times Square on a cold night just over 2 weeks ago when he saw the homeless man with bare feet.
You could see the blisters were about the size of my hands, and my heart just went out to this man. Like, I didn't think anything of it. I just went towards him, asked him if he wanted a pair of socks, and he said no, but thank you, and God bless you for asking. And that I found amazing because, you know, he doesn't even have a pair of socks to his name, and he has the heart to say, God bless me. It was absolutely, it was just inspiring.
Officer DePrimo went to this Skechers to get the man boots and had to run back out to ask him his size. It was a 12.
We offered him this one.
Manager Jose Cano offered his employee discount to the officer.
We realized, you know, this is a cop on the beat, you know, he's just passing by, and it came naturally for us to try to want to help, make the best out of the situation.
Officer DePrimo never found out the name of the man he helped, but he remembers his reaction.
He looked me right in the face, and the smile just went from ear to ear, and again, he said, God bless me, and he said, you know, be safe, and I just couldn't believe it was coming out of his mouth, you know, it's just for such a small gesture, you know, he was so appreciative.
The officer says he keeps the receipt in his bulletproof vest as a reminder of those less fortunate.
With all this attention, what do you hope comes out of it?
If it pushes somebody else to go out and do another kind act towards an...
News. It's hopeful. And it gave us a picture of what it looks like. That when we are broken... And he comes and takes care of us and reaches out to us and gives us something to hope into, something to hope for. The Christian life, if it is taken hold of God's truth, is a beautiful obsession with an eternal hope. A hope that does not lead to an escapist attitude, but to the pursuit of life on a whole new dimension. I don't know if that police officer is a Christian. I don't know if but he was showing what a Christian life really should look like, right? Somebody who is showing Christ's love to somebody just because it's the right thing to do, and that's what Christ would do. And so when we have hope, it makes you optimistic on the possibilities of life as servants of God. It gives us power to live courageously, to be all God has called us to be in Christ. So then, why are we so quickly to pursue earthly treasures and so slow to be obsessed with God's kingdom? Perhaps it's because we don't believe in the heavenly realms or the heavenly realities that what God says is actually going to happen. Maybe we've lost hope in that. They represent a cliche in our minds sometimes. If a person who believes in this heavenly hope and who is so fixed on it, in the words of Peter, that he or she is able to have such a light grip on things on this world that he or she is able to put first things first. If our hope is biblical, not just a heavenly cliche or like the sign in case of emergency break glass, hope in God's hand and provision will move us. When we hope in something eternal, it will make us do amazing things, because we're doing it for an eternal purpose. And so hope gives us joy and it gives us peace. Romans 15:13 is one of these verses that I found that just blew me away. It starts off talking about the root of Jesse, and we all know what that is, that Jesus is coming. And in verse 12, it says, "But what is before this?" And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up. One will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will," what? "Hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And so hope gives us joy and peace. In fact, I was going to share this later, but I'll share it now. There's a quote from a commentary that I found, and it says this. You got to think about it for a couple minutes. It says, "Peace is hope resting, and joy is hope dancing." I'll say it again. Peace is hope resting, joy is hope dancing. And so when we have hope in Jesus Christ, we have joy and we have peace. Right? I know that my life and things around me don't necessarily give me hope and joy, because it's life, it's humanity, it's messy. But when we rise above that, when we have true hope, when we have hope in Christ, that will bring true peace and joy. Romans 5:2. I didn't skip one. Good. Romans 5:2 says, "Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace, in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God." So, number one, it gives us joy and peace. Number two, it gives us protection. Psalms 33:18. "But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love." And number three, it gives us strength and courage and boldness. Psalms 31:24, "Be strong and take heart, all of you who hope in the Lord." Number four, it gives us endurance and comfort, confidence in the face of death. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind, who have no hope." It gives us confidence in ministry. Number five, that is why 1 Timothy 4:10. "That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially those who believe." So sometimes we can have a false hope. And there are a number of warnings in scriptures against putting hope in anything other than the Lord, because these things will leave us, they will leave us ashamed, frustrated, disappointed, and they will discourage us. And so in Job, it talks about putting our hope in the wrong things. Job 8:11-15, it says, Can papyrus grow tall where there is no marsh? Can reeds thrive without water? While still growing and uncut, they wither more quickly than grass. Such is the destiny of all who forget God. So perishes the hope of the godless. What they trust in is fragile. What they rely on is a spider's web. They lean on the web, but it gives way. They cling to it, but it does not hope. And there's a few more that I'm going to skip. But there's a whole slug of verses in the Bible that talk about hope and then talk about false hope. The positive ones, the reasons for true hope, is God is called the God of hope. He's the one that can give us that. This means He is the source of real hope. If we are going to have hope, the confident expectation, it must come from Him, for He alone has the power to give it. And so Psalm 62, verse 5 says, "Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him." And so if we are without Christ, we have no hope. There's nothing to hope in. But with Christ, the sky's the limit. Ephesians 2:12 gives us an indication that of this Christ without hope. And now we are with Christ and we have hope. So Ephesians 2:12 says, "Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, without God in the world." Hope depends on knowing the Word of God. When we know God's Word, it gives us hope. Romans 15:4 says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." Colossians 1:5-6 says, "The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace." You know, when I'm discouraged, I look for stories online. I find Christian websites. I look, someone was telling me about CBN. They watch it. You can always find stories where God is doing amazing things across the world. In fact, read up on China or some other country like ours, where the gospel is spreading like wildfire. These are encouraging things to see, and that's what Colossians is talking about. Thessalonians too. Hope depends on a spirit-filled life. 1 Peter 1:13. "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming." And the last one I'll give you this morning is one that I already gave you. Is Romans 15:13. "May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So my question to you today is, what have we fixed our hope in? Does our life prove it? Has it changed who we are, what we value, or what we are doing with our lives? Hope, true hope in Christ, will transform us. And that's why some of us, maybe all of us, struggle with being changed and transformed, because we are hoping in the wrong things. And I thought of one thing we could go on different tracks, but think of this as we close. Without forgiveness, there is no hope. Think about that for a minute. Without forgiveness, there is no hope. Christ forgave us of our sins. And that gives us great hope. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, as a baby, as someone who has grown up in this temporary world, who has experienced things that we have experienced, pain and suffering and just the ordinary things in life. Thank you that Jesus came to live among us. Thank you that He came to show us how to live. Thank you for His sacrifice, your sacrifice of your Son Jesus on the cross. And that gives us hope. And we have even more hope today because you did not stay in the grave. Jesus, you did not stay in the grave. You rose again. And we have hope because of that. And so, as Lord, as we go into this Christmas season, as we count down the days, Advent is really the preparation, the anticipation of the coming Christ. And so we hope for the day when we will see you face to face. And we will be completely changed. That's good news. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.